Blog Talk Radio.
I didn't think the music was going to turn off. Hi, this is George. And, well, George, come on. Formally, do we have to be formal today? It's Friday, you know, like Friday casual kind of thing. We're on the air. We can just talk about all kinds of fun things. So what are we going to talk about? Oh, for those who haven't listened to me, has anybody not listened to me before? I don't know. I usually get a lot of the same listeners, which is cool. So what do I do here? Okay, what do I do? So normally we do a lot of different things. I talk a lot about, you know, get messages from dead people like your ancestors and so forth and so on. I channel my spirit guides for you. And I find lots of articles on a topic that is where we're going to talk about today or any other day. And, you know, just generally all that sort of thing. My main job in life is to inspire you somehow, some way to inspire you to go to the next level in life. And my main activity in life, which is a little different, is to work with people to overcome those beliefs that are limiting you from getting what you want in life. Interesting enough, right? So I do a lot of regression work, past lives and early childhood. And the last few days we've been talking about that. It's the fact that most of your beliefs that are part of you come into you at a very early age, that by the time you're about 10 or 11, you're pretty much got your belief system in place, your personal belief system. Now, you get it from your parents, you get it from your older siblings, you get it from your teachers, you get it from your church, you get it from just television. You know, it's the old adage that I used the other day, I think it was yesterday, that and it's from Abraham, but it was kind of the Abrahamic teachings, but it's kind of an interesting thought that a belief is nothing more than a thought that you continue to hear and speak. So if you hear something over and over and over again, that will become your belief. And we talked about that the other day, that it was, you know, political figures have been using this for, you know, years and years and years and years. And I made a quote from Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi prime minister or minister of propaganda. And he basically echoed the same thought, that your beliefs are based on the thoughts that you continue to get. So if they could continue to give you the same thought over and over and over again, that would be your belief. Now, in your adults, that's a little harder. That's a little bit more difficult. But when you're children, when you have that age of no critical thinking and no filter to your thoughts, boom, comes right in. So today, what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about relationships. Relationships. And what we're going to speak about is relationships in the idea that let me go back a couple of articles. What are the beliefs that are toxic in a relationship? Ooh, that's right. Or what are the beliefs that are limiting you or sabotaging your relationships? What are those beliefs that you've carried with you from childhood? I have a couple of great articles on that, and I think I'm going to go through the articles, but I'll take a call because somebody called in. So we're going to talk about relationships, but we're going to talk about, you know, and I hear this all the time. People think, I can't seem to get a good relationship. And a lot of times we're sabotaging our own getting of a relationship with our belief systems because we're, instead of putting out to the universe, God, source, whatever you want to call it, that I want this and this and this, really what's running is that tape of those old beliefs about a relationship. Like, I can't get the person I want, I'm a loser, whatever it is. And we'll get into some of the other aspects of that you know, some of the other statements that people state about relationships that sabotage us attracting the relationship we want. So people say, what am I going to be in a relationship? And Spirit will gladly put it out there and say, well, it's 6 months, it's 3 months, it's next week, because they can see it in your future. They can see it. But then you sabotage it, if that makes any sense at all, because your energy field is not in alignment with, your vibration is not in alignment with a new relationship. And generally what you're going to do is attract a relationship that reflects your old beliefs. Ooh, that's a yucky one, isn't it? If you had bad relationships, you're going to attract a new one. I know I got a caller, 914 area code. I'll be with you in about a minute. I just want to set this up a little bit more. You won't believe the number of people that I've talked to over the years, because I've been doing this a long time. I guess I've been started doing psychic work 25 years ago, roughly 25 years ago. Long time, right? That's after many years in the business world and doing other things. But what seems to be a very common thing is men or women, it's not just women, will say, how come I seem to attract the same kind of person? It's because that's your thought patterns, because that's what you think about. That's your belief system. Somewhere deep in your subconscious mind, you've set up that belief system of, this is the kind of person that I want. I like bad boys. You may say, I don't want a bad boy, but there's something going on inside of you that says, I want a bad boy, or I want somebody who is going to abandon me, or I want somebody who, that's your belief system, believe it or not. And so why do you continue, I call them same person, different skin. And why do you attract the same person with a different skin? It's because of your belief system. It's because you programmed yourself to reattract that into your life. So let me take a caller. We'll get into these articles. And if you want to call in, now what I would like to do with this, if play with me a little bit, and after the caller, I will go through some of these beliefs that people have about relationships, and you can comment to me in the chat room or call in, yeah, that's my problem, that's mine, I'll own up to that one. Now it's confession time, true confession. I'll go into the confessional and you'll, oh yeah, that's mine. Now, you guys know each other too well in there to say, oh, no, I'm kidding. Okay, so let me take a call, and then we'll talk more about this relationship stuff and our beliefs about relationships. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? Hello?
Yes, whom am I speaking to?
Okay. Oh, my name is Katie. How are you?
I'm well. How is Katie, though?
Good. A little bit, I don't know, I guess you'd say nervous today.
Why are you nervous?
I'm looking to approach somebody for work.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the problem? What's the problem of approaching somebody for work?
I'm not really sure if, I've actually already approached them. So I was just kind of wondering if it's okay to, like, check back and say, you know, kind of don't forget about me type thing.
Well, let's turn this around a bit. Did you actually do an interview with them, an actual job interview?
No. I kind of reached out. We're in the same field, have a mutual colleague. So I was like, you know, how about collaborating on this. They told me, yes, okay, sounds good. I'll get back to you. It's been a couple of weeks and I haven't heard. So, yeah.
Okay, well, the next approach, and that it's not too late after a couple of days. I mean, look at it as a job interview kind
of
thing.
No,
a job,
like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but yes. Look at it. It's kind of like you took a job interview where you would follow up, like, thank you for the conversation. I appreciated the conversation. I'm really looking forward to working with you. Do you have any other questions about my background and what I do? Right?
Lovely.
That's what you do in a job interview, but you're basically doing the same thing. You're saying, I want to work with you, like to develop practice together, right? So the follow-up is, I really appreciated our conversation. I really got, it was nice to get to meet you and learn more about what you do and blah, 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 right? And I'm looking forward to working with you. Are there any questions you might have? Anything we can clarify about my background or whatever you want to put there? So, you know, because sometimes no answers, they just don't have enough information.
Yes.
It's like I was in sales for years and years and years and years. And one of the things a no usually indicates, or a lack of response, is usually an indicator if they just don't have enough information on you to make a decision.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to promote yourself a bit more. Oh, or you could do this. I'll try this one. Think about this one. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you some ideas because this is what comes into my probably from, you know, some great salesperson in the past, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm channeling somebody. I don't know who it is, right?
Yes, Carnegie, what was his name?
One of those people, right?
Napoleon Hill. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what you want to ask them is, oh, I forgot to tell you this about myself. It's like when you're talking to somebody, even in the interview process, it's good to forget not to tell them everything up front. That gives you an opportunity to call back and tell them a little bit more, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So call back. Think of something that you would think that would be really important for them to know about you.
Okay.
That you didn't cover.
I got it.
Mm-hmm. And do it. Mm-hmm. See what happens. This will work out for you. Did you like the person? Did you kind of enjoy them as an individual, not just as a coworker or co-partner or whatever you're going to call it?
I find them very interesting. Like, I wouldn't get all that just by looking at you type thing. Very intriguing, interesting, I guess you'd say.
Can I ask you what field you're in? What business is this? What type of business?
Creative projects, media, art.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you show them some of the things that you've done?
Briefly. I don't know if they, you know, kind of clicked the link or not.
Okay. So you may want to follow up with that. Yeah, I started this new project. You might really like this new one I've been doing. You might have been working on. Yeah, I'd love you to take a look at it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are you going to go physically? You're going to meet them in person? Is that what you're going to attempt to do?
From what I know, they live on the other side of the country. So either email or phone call. Yeah, that's what makes things
difficult. Email them a video of yourself. Email them a video.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You know, you're a creative person. Come up with a creative way to reach out them to the second time, out to them the second time.
Yes.
The more creative you can do, the more creative that you can be in responding to them, right, the more that you are showing them that I would be really good at this with you. So don't hesitate to be out there on the edge of creativity to some, you know, I don't know how conservative a business they're doing, but don't be afraid to be very creative, because that's showing them, wow, okay, yeah, I really love what she does. We got to get together. Got it?
I like that. Yes, I got it. That totally resonates.
Okay, then go for it. You'll get it.
Yes.
Take care.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You as well. Thank you. God bless you.
Have a great weekend. Have some fun.
You also. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye
you
now.
As well. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. Thank you.
So, well, that was kind of fun. That's a relationship. Now, see, you might think, well, that's not a relationship. But when you work with somebody or want to do business with somebody, it's a relationship. I mean, there's so many different kinds of relationships out there. You have relationships with your pets. You have relationships with your parents. You have relationships. I know we're talking about romantic things, but, you know, you have relationships with your coworkers. You have relationships with the gardener. You have relationships with just about everybody you meet. You have some form of relationship. And it's really kind of our responsibility to try to establish the best relationship possible. Not that you're going to get something. Maybe you will. Maybe you'll get something. But doesn't that feel good to have a nice relationship with people? People that trust you? Okay, let's get back to the article. We're going to talk about other things here for a moment. Let's go a couple articles. Are these limiting thoughts sabotaging your relationships? And this is from the HuffPost Living. Oh, it's the Canada version. Ooh, Canada. Colette Guy is the author, and she's a relationship specialist, author, and speaker. You wonder where I find these. It's, you know, I love Google. Google, you can find anything anymore. It's amazing, right? Google searches. Okay, so let me go through the article quickly, and then we'll get into the beliefs that she brings up, and then maybe you have some other ones. If your belief is different, and you want to do some soul searching while we're doing this and ask yourself, okay, what are my beliefs about relationships? Okay, what are my beliefs about relationships that might be limiting me? I did that a little bit of an exercise this morning on that and came up with some ideas, some thoughts on myself, which are like, oh, because I went into meditation and I asked myself, okay, what are my beliefs? And I visualized myself writing these down. What are my limiting beliefs on relationships or money? Money was interesting. Money, when I went through that process, my response to money was, money is corrupting. Isn't that a horrible thought? So I try to work very hard. I'd use NLP principles and exercise to change that to a little different point of view on money. No wonder you sabotage your about money when you think it's corrupting. So I shifted it to money being freedom, because it is, and generosity, the ability to be generous, the ability to have freedom. Okay, so we'll talk about that. So that's a whole different topic. I went off the track here a little bit. Our personal beliefs play a huge role in how we view ourselves. The world around us through our beliefs are not reality itself, but rather our thoughts about reality. I like that. Our thoughts about reality. In our quest for love, many of us desire to live a perfect life in a perfect relationship with a perfect partner. That's a bunch of, you know, well, okay. But often we end up in a relationship that is unfulfilled with a partner that is below our standards, living a life that is far from perfect. Now, that sounds depressing, doesn't it? Why? Because the world we live in, including the relationships we attract, are shaped by the beliefs we have about ourselves. Ooh. So what are these beliefs? Beliefs are a collection of interpretations and feelings based upon our painful or pleasurable past experiences. Now, we'll go through this, but I would shift that a little bit. This is about things that you hear that you allow to become part of your subconscious. Your belief system on a subject is not just experiences. I think the experiences you look for later to validate your beliefs already. Now, that's my opinion. There are either limiting beliefs or empowering beliefs. The challenge is many of us don't consistently decide or consciously decide what to believe in. Consciously, once we feel strong about a specific belief, we seek experiences to validate it. Hence, our beliefs become our truths. So our beliefs come from our subconscious mind, and our thoughts about something come from the subconscious mind. And then we try to validate those thoughts, okay, by things around us. You know, in Germany, well, Jews are bad, Jews are horrible, Jews do this, Jews do that. That became kind of a belief system. So people would look to validate that those people were horrible. It's the same thing in the political system now, right? And we're hearing these things that press is the enemy of America. Okay, so people are going to start looking, going to hear that enough times, and they're going to start to look for validation. And that becomes their truth. It's, you know, it's very clever and manipulating. Believe it or not, it's very clever and manipulating. So you got to watch out for that. Okay, so let's say, for example, that my father abandoned my family when I was a child. And I became an abandonment, right, waiting to happen because I attract experiences that validate the limiting belief I created from my past experiences. Then I begin to unconsciously attract relationships that confirm my abandoned belief, thus seeking partners who abandon me, who are emotionally unavailable. But what if it happens I come across a partner who doesn't abandon me and who isn't emotionally unavailable? The outcome would likely be the same, except I would be the one to abandon that my partner. So abandonment is that issue that they're talking about here, and it's a biggie. It's a biggie. If you've been abandoned as a child, I'm just thinking, that's a big one, because my father died when I was 5. Well, I can see that issue of being abandoned by my father to a crazy mother. And so I think of that issue. So this is a good point. I should, I think about this myself a little bit. And emotionally draw away from them in order to recreate and confirm my abandonment belief, thus sabotaging the relationship so that my belief not only prevails, it holds true. Or you could be a relationship that really is working well, and you'll do stuff to make that person abandon you, because then, you get to validate you're a person who's always being abandoned by others. Now, if that resonates with you, you got to shift that, right? You got to shift that belief. Because if that's valid, if you're resonating with the idea that I create situations so my partner can abandon me, because that's my history, you can see, time to change that one. If you want to replace something old, you have to make room for something new. A healthy relationship begins and ends with a healthy love of self. Therefore, who we attract and who we're attracted to has more to do with who we are as an individual. Well, like attracts like. That's the law of attraction. We attract things like ourselves. We attract people like ourselves. You know, if you're a bad person, you're more likely to attract bad person. You know, well, there's a Bible scripture that it was stated, bad association. There's one translation that says, bad associations spoil useful habits. So if you create associating with people that have certain bad habits, it's really a reflection of yourself, so be careful with that. Okay, let me see. So we're going to get into some of these issues now. And when we enter a new relationship, we come into a relationship with two types of belief, limiting beliefs or empowering beliefs. Yes. So I'm going to ask you as I go through some of these, do you have any of these issues? I am afraid that he will leave me. That's a very limiting belief. Anybody have that one? I'm afraid. Oh, I got callers. Oh, I got a caller. Okay, so I am afraid that he or she will leave me. Anybody have that one? Okay, you guys are not going to comment. You're going to go, I don't want to comment on that one. But let me get back to the topic, and then I got 347 area code, and I will take your call in a minute. Let me do a couple more of this. Oops, wrong one, wrong article. So what's the healthy one? What's the empowering belief? Now, I create my own reality, and I am responsible for what I create. Basically, you're flipping to the opposite. Now, I believe that you need to do this at the subconscious mind. You need to do this in a deep meditative state or a meditative state that you need to anchor in these new beliefs. If you discover in a meditative state, in hypnosis, somehow, some way, that this is my limiting belief, then you need to go back in and then you need to replace it with an empowering belief in the subconscious. Just to have a mantra doesn't always work, because you emotionally have to tie into the new belief. I create my own reality and responsible for what I create. Now, that's a nice expression, very nice expression. But if you say that to yourself and your emotions are incongruent with the statement, which means it'll never lock in. So in a meditative state, in a regression state that I work with, that you will go down there and you will make sure that feels good. It's got to feel good to you to state that. Okay, let's do one more and then I'll take a caller. Okay, I apologize for that, but I love to do these. Okay, I am too old to find love. That's a limiting belief. I am too old to find love. Now, one empowering statement would be, there is always a way if I'm committed. Now, another way of saying that, or another way of saying that, there are plenty of people out there that find love at 70 and 80. I know a lot of examples of people that find love at an older age, their 60s, 50s, whatever age group you're concerned about, and you can look for examples of that. So you want to put into your subconscious mind, it's never too late to fall in love. It happens all the time. I have plenty of examples in my life of people falling in love at all kinds of ages. That's the positive belief. That's the empowering belief. Now, you could write a little mantra about it. You could put it on the wall. But you got to feel it. That's got to feel good to you. So let me see. If you're still here, you still want to talk. Okay. I am as young as my heart. I am young. I am still young, or I'm young in my heart, right? Yeah, very young at heart. So that's a good statement. That's like, and you're going to attract somebody else who's like you. I mean, the age-wise, you know, you're going to attract somebody who has the same belief system, right? That's what you're looking to do. Never too old. What do you think? Never too old. Okay, that's just, so you have to get in there and look at these beliefs. Okay, let me take a call, and I have some other ones, and then I have another article, so I've got lots of articles, but not enough time, right? Hello?
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 And hello? Whom am I speaking
to? This is Tanika.
Tanika?
Yeah.
How are you today, and what's your relationship situation?
I'm not in one right now. Yeah, that's why I'm kind of calling to see if you could tell me about that with me.
Okay, so why aren't you in one?
Just because I haven't met anyone yet.
Well, it's about, you know what I hear for you more than anything? It's divine timing. It's timing. I would not worry about it. It's timing. It's about, you have other things in your life that are a priority, and a relationship will flow in when you are emotionally and physically ready for a relationship. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're open and available for a relationship, so don't beat yourself up because you don't have one, because it's a matter of timing. Okay?
Okay.
So I wouldn't get panicky about it. You'll get one. You'll get one. You're a good person, aren't you?
Yes, I know. I just haven't met anyone. Like, it just seems like...
Okay. So reevaluate. This is what I hear for you. Reevaluate what you're looking for in a relationship or in a person. Reevaluate what you're looking for. And when you have a list of things that you're looking for, figure out where you might be able to go to meet those kind of person. Okay. If what are your interests, what are the things that you love to do that you would love to have somebody who does the same things as you do, kind of mutual interests, what are the most important interests in your life that you would like to have something to share with somebody else, right?
Right.
It's that thing of like attracts like. So if you like a certain activity that both men and women both participate, you're looking for a male, right?
Right.
Okay, so you have to figure out something I love to do that I know a man would appreciate. I mean, if you're really into the ballet, that's cool. I mean, that's good, but do you really think you're going to meet a man at the ballet? Maybe. Or taking ballet lessons. I don't know. That's kind of questionable, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just using that as an example. So you have to figure out, what do you love to do? Where do you love to go that you would meet somebody who's like yourself? And just reevaluate what you're looking for in a person. I mean, obviously, okay, the sincerity and the trust and the loyalty, those are all things that you'll find out fairly quickly about somebody. But what glues people together is kind of interests that you both love to share, right?
Right.
Not that you won't have separate interests and separate things. So I would suggest to you, you know, you haven't found somebody, maybe you're looking in the wrong places.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that's true.
Well, obviously you haven't found somebody, so you haven't been in the right places to find somebody, right?
Right.
It's like, I give you an example, and I'm not trying to pick on you, and I'm just throwing this out there. This is what I hear. It's if you're looking for a certain style of shoe, okay, and if you're going to all the wrong stores, if you're going to places that only sell dresses, you're not going to find those shoes, are you?
Okay.
So you have to hit the shoe stores up, you know, the ones you think that would be trendy, the kind of shoe stores you know that you would find your shoe. So it's the same thing of meeting a partner. You have to go to those places. If you love to dance, take dancing lessons, right?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whatever your passions are, and you'll find somebody. Just think about it. Evaluate what you like, what you would like to share with a partner, and find those places that you think you could go to meet those places. Now, a lot of people do online dating, which is nothing wrong with online dating, but you almost have to be the same way in online dating. Instead of and asking for people who share certain activities, right? If you love rock climbing, then you'll put down, I love to rock climb and I'd love to have somebody to rock climb with, right?
Right.
But if you're kind of more the movie person or the music person, yeah, I've seen dating sites and, it's like, okay, now the interests are just, I'm not interested in those interests, so I wouldn't even click on that person, right? Okay. Some ideas.
Yeah.
Spirit kind of throws it out there. You'll meet somebody, but just kind of reevaluate what you're looking for in somebody and what's important to you when you get it, for what you would be doing in a relationship. Okay?
Okay.
Mutual interests. It's important. It really is.
Now,
there's couples that have opposite interests and so forth, but I don't think they're as happy as people or joyful together unless they have something to share that they both love to do. If you both love to travel, then cool. That's a good thing, right? So you get to share traveling or whatever it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does spirit say to you when they see me with someone?
Well, that's really kind of the whole point of this show is really about, it's time for you to, as soon as you get it together, yeah, that'll happen. As soon as you get it together and start going out to those places or doing those things and attracting the kind of person that you want, that'll happen immediately. It won't take long at all. But you have to redefine what you want.
All right.
That's what they're trying to tell you. Redefine what you want and start going to those places or doing those things or presenting what you want, then you'll meet somebody right away. Okay?
Okay.
Got it?
Got it.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, we could spend years looking for somebody. And, you have to reevaluate what you want. Don't you? I guess. Okay, let's go back to the subject matter at hand. We're talking about things that sabotage us, beliefs about ourselves, I'm not worthy kind of stuff, right? Remember that? I'm not worthy. Okay, what's the next one? I'm no good at relationships because every relationship I've ever had has failed. That's a limiting belief. If you go in with the attitude, I'm trying to meet somebody, oh, you know what? My relationships fail. I just can't hold on to a relationship. Okay, so one empowering belief is the past does not equal the future. That's okay, I guess. The past does not equal the future. Or if you want to use a more empowering statement, it's about, and from a spiritual place, that I've been cleaning up my emotional place and I've been cleaning up my attitude and I've improved my attitude about relationships and I've worked really hard on developing better relationships with people and I know that's going to happen for me, if that makes sense at all. It's something to this effect that I'm really doing my work on maintaining and developing good relationships. I will do my work to maintain and develop good relationships. Okay, let me move on to the next one. I'll check back and see if anybody wants to talk about these subjects. These are kind of fun in a way. Yeah, are they? Yes, they are. No one thinks I'm good enough. Oh, that one hurts, right? When you think about that one, no one thinks I'm good enough. Well, that's a horrible limiting belief. I give more of myself to others than anyone expects. Nah, that's what they say is an empowering belief, but no one thinks I'm good enough. How about just turning that around and saying, you know what? I'm perfect for who I am. And I know other people will be attracted to who I am. I am perfect for who I am. Or you might even say, I am enough. I am enough. Use the I am statement there. I am enough to attract a partner. Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one. Let's use that one for a moment. Instead of no one thinks I am good enough, I am good enough. I am good enough to attract whoever I, you know, a partner. Okay, you can always use the I am statement, flip it around. Okay, and then one more, and then I'll get back to you guys, and we'll see what's going on. Okay, I give more of myself to others than anyone expects. I'll never be able to trust anyone. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I messed one. I'm sorry. Whew, poof, back up. No one thinks I'm good enough. Okay, the last two are, I will never be able to trust anyone. If I can't trust, I must. If I can't, I must, I can. Now, another statement, I'd kind of go, wait a minute, hold on, time out. Let's time out on that one a little bit. I will never be able to trust I am. How about something, I am developing a very trusting spirit. I am very discerning about trusting, and I am developing a loving and trusting spirit. Okay, a little different. A little different take on the same thing. But you can always flip it by saying I am the opposite of what I think, what my limiting thing is. And I am means this is who I am as a person. Okay, we got through that. That was kind of fun. Is there anything else I wanted to talk to? Okay, let me just read Mahatma Gandhi's statement that they put at the end of this article, and I think it's appropriate to what we're talking about today. Okay. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny. That was Mahatma Gandhi. I can't talk. Let me read that again. Okay, your beliefs become your thoughts become your words become your actions become your habits become your values become your destiny. What do you think? It's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty, the sequence of things. Now, your beliefs are based on your thoughts, so your subconscious programming becomes your beliefs. You might want it that. Everything you've taken in becomes your subconscious programming, and they become your beliefs. Moving right along, leave that one. Now, here I'll throw some more toxic beliefs, and the reason I'm doing this is for you about relationships and about yourself, because you can look at these and you go, I'm going to change them. I want to change these. How can I change them? So let's do some. Once I've fallen out of love, is that I can't get it back. Once I've fallen out of love, that is that I can't get it back. And what you could do now, let me see. They did put some other ones in here. Let me read theirs, their answer to that. I think it's a good one. I can fall in love again. In fact, love has never left me, as it has gotten, it has just gotten blocked. I can clear the obstacles between love and me and between me and my partner. That's a good statement. I should post these on Facebook if you're so interested in reading these. Maybe we'll do that. My computer is looking for Facebook. Where is it? It's lost out there. Okay. So, okay, we don't want to go there. Let's do one more. Oh, let me check back with you folks and see if there's anybody. Destiny. That's a good word. I like the word destiny. Thank you for sharing. I think we create our own. I think destiny, I could get into the whole topic about destiny and whether I believe in it or not. but I think there's a value in it. But destiny, there's also free will, and they play together. It's a dance. It's a game. It's a game of life. There's destiny and free will. Well, let me describe my idea about destiny and free will. I describe it in the metaphor of, let's say you're getting on a train from Los Angeles the day you're born. You get on this train from Los Angeles, and you're going to New York. That's your destiny. You're going to go from Los Angeles to New York, and that's your destiny to go. Your destiny is to have certain experience in your life, right? Free will is, well, I'm going to get off at this stop, and I'm going to look around. I know I'm supposed to be going over here. That's my destiny. But I want to take a pit stop here. I want to look around here for a little while. Oh, I want to meet this new person because I've never met this person before. You're still on the – you're either getting off – but you're never – you're always getting back on the train. You're always getting – going towards your destiny. But you take pit stops along the way because you want to check things out. And that's the free will part. A lot of times we free will ourselves out of destiny because things don't happen because we've played around with free will so much that we don't listen to that inner voice, that higher calling that tells us we need to be going here, we need to be going here, we need to be going here. And you're going, nah, I want to go out in the bushes somewhere and play around in the bushes for a while. I don't want to stay on that road. So there's a difference. And believe it or not, we're back to relationships. You segued me into something else. Okay, toxic beliefs to be challenged. What I have experienced is in the past is likely what I will experience in the future. Oh, that's just so contrary. Well, it's not really contrary, but let's see what they have to say as an answer to that. With new skills and tools, I can create new experiences. Now, I would change that around because there is a certain truth to that. What I experience in the past is likely I experience in the future. That's the law of attraction. If you keep thinking the same old thoughts all the time, the same old things, experiences, you keep getting the same old experiences. So you might want to say that I am changing my thoughts and my feelings so that I can move into new experiences. Does that make sense? It's skills and tools, yeah, but they're also thoughts. Thoughts that and beliefs, if you change your beliefs, your thoughts and your beliefs, you will change your experiences. Because the reason you're having the same old experiences, because you're repeating the same old thoughts and beliefs and the emotional attachment to them. So if you change your thoughts and your beliefs and put an emotional attachment, a positive, high vibrational emotional attachment to these new thoughts and these new beliefs, you will create new experiences in your life. You won't repeat the past. Okay, I'm done with that one. What do you think? What do you think? So we're almost out of time. Let me just run by one more by you real quick. And maybe we can talk more about this next week. My partner has to do something different in order for our relationships to work. I take full responsibility for the quality of my relationship. Yes, I believe that. I accept that. That you are responsible. And you can influence another person. Absolutely, you can influence another person. Right? You can't change another person, but you can influence. Your example, your words, your thoughts, your deeds can influence another person to make changes in their lives. Correct? But you can't change them. But you have to be the living example of what you want the relationship to be like. If you want love and kindness and forgiveness and generosity and all of appreciation to be part of a relationship and your partner is not displaying those things, you have to continue to do that. You can't be influenced by negativity. And if you can influence the other person to see that, hey, you're doing a great job. You're really happy and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I like the way you're dealing with things. You can influence other people. But if you're so polar opposite emotionally and with your thought patterns, then the relationship's not going to work anyway. Because they're coming from a negative place and you're coming from a positive place. Okay, we're out of time. But thank you for listening. Love you guys. I will be back on Monday. Bye.